T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. NHL trade deadline, as you just heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale. Especially on a day like today, this is why we get up in the morning.
It's why we do this. So I'll give you a couple of quick updates. Kevin Miller, we told you earlier, was not on the ice for the Bruins practice, and everybody went, Oh no. Listed as day-to-day. He blocked a shot in Vegas, which he does all the time. I'm only surprised it doesn't happen more often for him. So he's listed as day-to-day. Torrey Krug, who was not able to play the overtime of the game in St. Louis on Saturday, according to his coach, is fine. He's ready to go.
He practiced today. He was Krug out there.
Likely could play tomorrow. There's a question about whether Kevin Miller could play tomorrow. David Pastrnak skated for the first time since his surgery. He had surgery on his thumb. Had a procedure on his thumb.
Procedure.
We can't say surgery.
Procedure. Yeah, well,
so he had a procedure on his thumb. He did skate today for the first time since then, but did not have a hockey stick in his hands. He was just out skating.
No, but at least he can stay in shape. I mean, he's going to have to grip the stick later on. But and then also Don Sweeney apparently is going to give an update on Pastrnak and also hopefully a new Bruin later today. Trade deadline, 3 o'clock. They have, obviously, last week got Charlie Coyle. Today, still nothing.
There's a couple of schools of thought out there. One is that the asking price, particularly for a couple of these guys, just continues to be outrageous. Yes. The asking price for Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers is reportedly a first-round pick and a prospect. And virtually nobody in the NHL is willing to give the Flyers that. Chuck Fletcher, the GM, obviously, you want to do the best you can for your team. I understand. That one's probably going to go down to the wire, and the Bruins will continue to lurk. The word is that they are also trying to see if the asking price goes down on Mark Stone, they and several other teams. That one's probably going to go down to the 3 o'clock wire as well, but that the Bruins are still at least looking at that as a possibility out there.
Yeah, and so we'll see if they're willing, because they gave up a first-round pick last year. All the reports are Ottawa wants 2 first-round picks for Mark Stone. So are you willing to...
This year's and next year's and a prospect.
Is there a rule in the NHL like there is in the NBA where you can't trade too many first-round picks in a row? Because they had this idiot who I think he was up with the Cavaliers years ago. They had to put in a rule because he would just keep trading future first-round picks.
Yeah, there is no rule in the NHL.
So you could trade them all away.
You could theoretically do it. Now, in the Stone scenario that we were talking about, that would mean Don Sweeney would be without a first-round pick for 3 consecutive years. He ain't going there.
No, I don't think so.
He hated not being in the first round last year.
Yeah, so that's not happening. But they have so many young guys, you would think there would still be a way to get a deal done. And even if it's a second-round pick and Heinen and one of the guys in the AHL, now maybe that's just not enough. And maybe that's not going to get it done. That should be able to get it done for Wayne Simmonds, probably not for Mark Stone. I would imagine the other trade packages out there are a lot better than that.
So our boy John Tortorella struck again today. He's in a good mood.
He's feeling jovial.
So he's at the podium. He's holding his press conference today. And there's a guy by the name of Tom Reed who writes for The Athletic and covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for The Athletic. And Tom Reed has his phone here, you know, like you have, like I have, and it has a recorder function. So he sets the recorder up and he sets his phone on the podium to record whatever it is John Tortorella has to say. The phone rings.
Oh, hello.
In the middle of the press conference.
Of course it does.
His pants, he was puking.
No, he did not say that.
Same
this
guy.
Time.
No, yeah.
So I'm guessing on Tom Reed's phone, the caller ID said mom.
Oh, boy.
Because John Tortorella...
The reporter's mom called in the middle of Tort's press conference?
So Tortorella answered the phone.
Oh, of course.
He says, Mrs. Reed, I'm in the middle of a press conference right now. I'd rather talk to you than your son.
Oh, God.
So... Torts is feeling
Torts
it.
Torts is having a good time.
Columbus.
Well, all of a sudden, they're a buyer now. They're not a seller. They're a playoff team right now. They just added a couple of guys from the Senators. They may not be done. They added a backup goalie. Speaking of hockey here, Dale, did you notice the Minnesota Wild yesterday? Did you happen to take in any of the Minnesota Wild game
I did. I saw the game-winning goal.
Overtime goal.
I did see the game-winning goal in overtime.
Ryan Donato. This guy is on fire right now. First of all.
Huge mistake.
The Minnesota Wild. I'm with you, Eamon. Huge mistake. Minnesota Wild are, let's see, perfect 3-0 since acquiring Ryan Donato. He has, what does he have, 4 points. He has a goal and 3 assists. He's got a point, at least one in every game so far. Pretty good. Scored the game winner in overtime. Playing out there with Zach Parise. Looks pretty good. Looks like a pretty good player to me.
Eamon, you want to weigh in again? Something else you want to add? No, I know.
Oh, do you have another trade?
Nope.
Trade? No.
Okay. I do like Coyle, you know, local kid from Weymouth. But
sure.
You know,
but Donato?
Donato.
I think you could have gotten Coyle anyway. Yeah, it might end up being a change. Because the coaching staff believes in him there. They didn't believe in him here. They believe in him out there.
We went over this on the day the Bruins made the trade. I didn't think Ryan Donato was going to help the team this year. He's in Providence. And, you know,
well, no, I think that's pretty safe.
And that, you know, Charlie Coyle was going to help the team now. I was more concerned about now, how you were going to perform this year, which is why I was willing to do the deal.
Well, so then you would trade all the first-round picks then?
No.
Well, you just said you're here for now.
Yeah, but I'm not going to rent a player. Charlie Coyle's not a rental.
Oh, yeah.
He's under contract for this year and next year at a reasonable amount. Right. I'm not going to rent Wayne Simmons. For a first-round pick
but
and
what about the
and
now?
A prospect.
I thought you wanted the now. Wayne Simmons helps your team now more than the first-round picks
Well,
do.
There's a question of how much he helps your
well,
team
that's
now,
what,
too.
I don't know
Mark
how great
Stone
he is.
Absolutely helps your team now.
Would you
we'll
trade,
use him as an example.
Would you trade 2 first-round picks for Mark Stone?
No.
What the hell? I thought you wanted the now.
I do.
Mark Stone helps you now more than the first-round picks do.
Absolutely does. But you've also got to worry. It is not analogous to the Coyle for Donato situation.
Why not? Because
you have Donato. He's in the minor leagues.
But Donato also, consider him a first-round pick. Donato's also could have been
He wasn't a first-round pick.
No, but, Dale, you know what I mean. He's like a first-round pick in the sense that he could help you for the future. A first-round pick's not helping you this
right.
year.
Yep.
Neither is Donato. But next year, the first-round pick could help you. In fact, Donato has a better chance of helping you next year than the first-round pick does. How often do you grab a guy in the first round, especially late in the first round, and just put him in the NHL? It doesn't happen all that often.
Now and then. But
so he has a better chance of helping you next year. But if you're all about winning now.
So you would give up 2 first-round picks and a prospect for Stone?
No,
I said I would not.
But you're the one that's talking about the now. I'm not talking about the now. I wanted to keep Donato.
I also probably not as high on Ryan Donato as you are.
I don't think he can be. I'm a big
fan. That's fair.
I like him out there.
No one
so the Wild.
Could be.
Maybe anybody outside of Minnesota, because they're obviously very smitten with him. Overtime
sure
goal game winner last night.
I saw it. It was
pretty
a
good.
Nice shot. Bad goal, but a nice shot.
Beauty. A real beauty of a goal. They haven't lost since they acquired him.
And there you go.
Look out. They were in the basement when they got him.
I recall a similar start to the Rangers' career of Ryan Spooner.
Spooner was a good player, too. Now, are they going to be...
No,
he sucks.
So much.
Are they going to make the playoffs all of a sudden? That's the question in Minnesota. I was listening to Minnesota radio on the way in just to hear some of the buzz about Donato. They couldn't stop talking about him. They were comparing him to Kirby Puckett. They were comparing him to Kevin Garnett. It was a real wild scene.
Joe Mauer.
They love Joe Mauer. He's a very similar guy.
Yeah, that's
it was. They were all a buzz. Remember, we played
Kirby
some Minnesota
Puckett,
radio.
Kevin
remember?
Garnett and Joe Mauer.
And Donato. They were like,
which doesn't belong in one?
No, it was crazy because I'm like, why are they doing Mount Rushmore talk right now? But they were, and they put Donato up there with the rest of the other Minnesota legends.
Chris Carter, Randy Moss.
Chris Carter was on there. Yeah, they were like, guys, you know what? Moss, we got to move him down now because Donato's here. They love him, and they are right now one of the hottest teams in all of hockey.
As opposed to the basketball team I saw play Saturday night.
What the hell was that, Dale? The Chicago Bulls stink.
They're not that good.
Chicago Bulls are terrible. And then after the game, it's just a sob fest. They are an absolute mess, the Celtics. For a team that still has like a decent record, like they're not a disaster. They're 14 games over 500. But some of these losses that they have had this year are insane, including the Bulls. Now, I know the game is in Chicago, but that really shouldn't matter. And oh, by the way, they now have a losing record on the road. And if you're just paying attention for the first time, they would have to go on the road in the first round of the playoffs right now. How do you like their chances in round one this year? This is a team that's been in the conference finals the last couple of years with less talent. Now they have more talent, and they can't figure it out. They can't get out of their own way. Brad Stevens sounded defeated after the
how
game
about
in Chicago.
The stuff
on the sideline?
They go to the shots of him on the side. He just looked.
Somebody save Brad Stevens. I mean, somebody step in there and save this guy.
We need an intervention. I'm worried about Brad Stevens.
Now, part of it's probably his fault. Probably his own fault. You got a ton of talent. But man, has it been a disappointing season for them. And they keep having, now maybe they'll have another team meeting and that'll solve things. Maybe that'll be the next step. But I don't know, if you can't beat the Bulls.
And not just the Bulls, not beat the Bulls. Get thrashed.
Just get torched. You get absolutely pantsed by the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine, he's a nice little player. Lauri Markkanen, fine. Those guys combined for like 75 points against you. This is back to those early season losses where like J.J. Barea and Trey Burke were going off on him. Now, I know LaVine's better than those two, but to see him, they just didn't have any answers for him in Chicago. And you're like, well, what seems to be the problem here? They do not look like they are ready for this great run. And I know they went 12-3 going into the All-Star break. They beat Philly in Philly. Everybody's all excited about that. But then, you know, you lose to Milwaukee, fine. Milwaukee's a really good team. But you thought, you know what, maybe you could start the unofficial second half on a positive note. That would have been a signature win for them. Nope, don't do that. So you follow that up with an absolute turd sandwich against the Bulls. And now tomorrow they play the Raptors in Toronto. Good luck.
But, Keith, I think you're overreacting.
I am not.
No, I totally think you are.
Oh, they're saved?
Well, I think that, you know, maybe you're worried about some things.
Okay.
I don't think everybody's as worried as you.
I'm starting to get to the point where you're concerned that the struggle that you guys have will leak into the playoffs.
No, I'll be fine.
Why do you think that?
Because I'm here.
Well, I feel better. Kyrie Irving's here. Guess what, Kyrie? You've also been here all season long.
All right, okay.
He's been here all season, so he's just going to wake up now? They're just going to click now? They're going to get it now?
He just doesn't see how anybody could beat them in a seven-game series.
I think every team could beat you in a seven-game series right now. I think the Bucks, Raptors, and even the 76ers, who I know they've had their number, but right now, four of those games would be in Philly. And also, when they beat them last year, they didn't have Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris, so they are a different team. The Celtics right now, how could you pick them to win a seven-game series, let alone say that they wouldn't lose one? I mean, they are just, it's something about the pieces together. I think individually, you look at that, you're like, oh, I like that player, I like that player, I like that player. Oh, that guy's good, that guy's a future All-Star, that guy's a current All-Star. Like, they have a good team, or I shouldn't say that. They have good players, but they don't have a very good team.
Do they have enough good players?
Yeah, they do, because, like, who?
Well, I mean,
they're good.
On paper.
That's my point.
But what you've seen.
I know, but when they have, you know, Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford and, you know, Jaylen Brown, who I've never been really high on, but when they have all those guys on the court, you're like, yeah, if there was no salary cap and everybody was available, yeah, you could improve on some of those guys. But overall, that's a really good five that's out there on the floor. Or you throw Marcus Smart in there. That's a really good five individually, but you put them together and it doesn't seem to fit. And how many games? They've played 60 games now? This is quite a sample that they're working on here.
You do have seemingly an adequate sample size.
Yeah, I would say so. Any thought of, a slow start? Well, they can make up for a slow start. Well, this is no longer a start. They are way past even the halfway point.
It's just
now. It's just slow. Just a slog of a season.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
You know, the bottom line is that is what it is. I mean, that's every game's its own entity. We did a thing a few years ago. We've shared that with our guys. We got beat by 40 by Cleveland, and we came back in Game 3 and won. That happens all the time in basketball, and there's a reason it happens. At the end of the day, you know, and I've said this before, I'm disappointed in myself, and I've got to do a lot better.
I mean, I understand you take the high road. You're the coach of the team, and you say, you know, I've got to do better. I blame myself. Okay, fine.
He does, though.
I understand. I'm not saying he's blameless, by the way.
Right,
but
okay.
The players always get the bigger share of the blame for me, and he'd be next. But I'm also thinking, okay, the trade deadline is gone. I mean, I guess you could theoretically call somebody up from the main Red Claws that would suddenly turn your season around, but probably that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
So what do you do? If you're Brad Stevens, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, you got to figure
what's
out
a realistic move where you say, okay, you know what? Let's try this.
It's got to be tinkering lineups or just, and it's not even going to be the same thing every night. Like, I know one, the other night people were upset because Jaylen Brown was playing really well and still only played 24 minutes. Now, there are certain games where Jaylen Brown doesn't play very well. And then in the fourth quarter,
power trip.
Likewise
for his wife.
Hold on, is that Jaylen Brown trying to jump in here? There are some games where he doesn't play very well, and he shouldn't be in there in the fourth quarter. But then there are games where he does play well, and then where is he? Or there are times where, you know, Jason Tatum might have a hot stretch, and then all of a sudden he doesn't get the ball anymore. And part of that's Kyrie, but part of that's also Brad Stevens. Like, he's drawn up all these plays. I just feel like Brad Stevens gets so much credit over the last few years for getting the most out of the team, and he deserved it. He should have gotten all that credit. But now when the team's not playing as well, I think you got to look back at him and say, all right, well, what's the deal? How come you're not getting the most out of these guys? You got the most out of Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley and all those guys, but you're not getting the most out of this group. And it's really frustrating because you're saying the Eastern Conference is wide open. There should be an opportunity to make it to the NBA Finals. LeBron had been blocking that for 8 straight years. Now it is wide open. You have the most talent that you've had since Pierce and Garnett were here. And yet they're the 5th seed and you get blown out by the Bulls? Like, what on earth is happening?
My guess is what he has to do, because there aren't really a lot of options here. What he has to do is just, we're going to keep playing it out. We're going to get better. We'll have video. We'll talk. We'll have meetings, although meetings never work.
No, the meetings don't work. But, I mean, it's, you know, we kind of look at it, or I specifically look at it, you had the two Los Angeles games, which were a joke. You had big leads in both, and you blew both of them. You lose these last two games. But prior to that, there was some good, right? Like, they beat Oklahoma City. They beat Philly in Philly. Now, I know Kyrie wasn't in that game. But you got to find what was good about those games and kind of apply that going forward. They've had way too many stinkers this year. Like, every team does it. And Brad was alluding to a point, something from a couple of years ago where they got waxed by Cleveland. They came back. Yeah, it's basketball. That happens. But there's been way too many examples of them just getting crushed or talking about their effort. Like, how obnoxious has that been, Dale? Every loss. Just didn't. Like, the other team tried harder.
What? I hate that.
How can that be a thing?
That drives me crazy to hear that.
And so that's what you've been dealing with. And so tomorrow against Toronto, like, I don't expect a very good result there.
That's when they'll actually go out and
play. You think they'll turn it on?
Well, they will, just because, you know.
It may not matter, though. In Toronto, they may just get smacked anyway.
They might play well
right,
and lose.
Yeah. Because the Milwaukee
they won't play
game,
like they did in Chicago.
Chicago was so bad. And you're like, the Milwaukee game, you're like, all right, both teams were rusty. That was an ugly basketball game to watch. It was low scoring. Guys were missing shots like crazy. It looked like nobody picked up a basketball during the week that they were off. And then you end up losing a really close game. The Chicago game, just no excuse. We're never ready to go in it and got smoked by one of the worst teams in the league. Like, that thing didn't make any sense. But this is it. Like you said, this is the group. They need to figure it out with this group.
You can't change anything. You can't trade for somebody. You don't really have a minor league franchise. I know the...
That doesn't matter.
I know, like, theoretically, they call it, but...
Like, even if you got a buyout, even if you got somebody who is available, that doesn't matter. That's going to be the 9th guy on the team. The best players that you're going to have for the final 20
sitting on
games,
your bench.
That's it. Those are them. And so maybe Brad just needs to do a better job of identifying each night who has it and who doesn't, and then throw the minutes out there accordingly, because it's so frustrating, because you see the talent that's out there and the expectations should be high, and yet here they are just kind of treading water. It's really unbelievable, because you thought, wow, give Brad Stevens a lot of talent and just imagine. Well, you know what? Maybe he's just better off coaching a good team and making them peak at very good to occasionally great, rather than taking what could have been a great team and making them, you know, a true NBA title contender.
Not good.
No, it's not.
And I can't see what turns it around.
Oh, could it be?
Could it be?
That's a hockey trade.
Huge.
NHL trade deadline today at 3
o'clock.
This
might be the biggest of the bunch so far today.
Eamon, what do you have? What's the trade? Do you have the trade, or does Rossi have the trade? Who has the trade?
We both got the trade.
You both do it at the exact same time.
Everybody's got the trades.
I'm looking at it.
Dale's got the trade.
Dale's got the trade? You don't want one of our newsmen to break the news?
How about
Thomas Yurko.
Okay, I'll play along. Where is he headed?
He is headed to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Good for
now,
them.
Now ask what him what you get in return.
What do they get for Yurko?
Something called future considerations.
That could be anything.
That's not
though.
All.
That's a beauty. Anything. Could be anything.
Oh, hold on. In addition.
Future considerations.
Yeah, I got it right here. He says.
Cliff Poo.
Go ahead.
Cliff Poo is going back to Florida.
Well, I am certainly not mature enough for that. So Cliff Poo.
I was going to call him Cliff P.U.
I don't know if it's Poo or Pew, but it's P.U.
Poo.
That's how it's spelled. P.U.
Cliff Poo's on his way.
So out. Cliff Poo, I'll play along with Eamon.
For Tomas Yurko.
And future considerations for Tomas Yurko.
Look out, TSN in Canada. You got the best draft show or the best trade deadline show in the business right here. Cliff Poo and future considerations.
Truthfully, I mean, we didn't really have to play the trade horn.
Why didn't we?
We just want to.
We have to.
We just,
it's every trade.
Every trade.
By the way, trending in Florida right now is hashtag poo time.
I don't know if that's true.
Check out your trends.
You know what's trending in Minnesota? Still, Ryan Donato. And it probably will be for the rest of the season.
I think that there are three names that the Bruins could theoretically still be tied to between now and 3 o'clock. By the way, at 2:30, there's a big trade deadline special
on
Nesson.
Where can I find that?
Nesson.
Oh, right.
That's why I said on Nesson.
Oh, okay, good.
There's myself, there's Billy Jaffe, and there's Andrew Raycroft.
There it is.
And we'll be all there.
You going to be talking about anything?
And I think that there are three names, theoretically, that they could still be tied to at that point. One is Mark Stone, if the price comes down.
Mark Stone.
One is Wayne Simmons.
And trading back Ryan Donato.
No, I don't think that's going to be an option.
A do-over? No.
The other is Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, because they're not very good this year.
They're not very good. Yeah. He has term this year and next year. You might be willing to give up a little more if you get a player coming back.
Toffoli has 27 points in 61 games, 12 goals, 15 assists. So, now, is he more of a center, though, Toffoli? Or is he a wing?
Center.
Okay, so wouldn't you prefer the wing? Wouldn't you prefer, I mean, Stone's going to cost you the most, obviously. But
I just don't know if I'm giving up, first round picks for this year and next year, plus.
But they can want that all they want.
Oh, no, that's why I'm saying. You wait and you see if the price comes down between now and 3 o'clock, and we do have a bit of an update in the Robert Kraft situation.
Okay.
It's not much, but it's something to offer up. The Palm Beach State Attorney is holding a press conference at 2 p.m. Now, you will remember it was the Jupiter Police Department that filed the charges of soliciting prostitution against Kraft, and they were the ones who were kind of holding the press conference out there. The Palm Beach State Attorney, according to ESPN's Michelle Steele, has to decide whether to keep both charges.
Interesting.
I can't imagine why they wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you?
Then you get back to that whole thing. Wouldn't that be something if the Palm Beach State Attorney at 2 o'clock today says, "Yeah, you know what? We're not doing this."
Yeah. What's the catch there? Right. There's something up with that. Because we've heard that the videos all exist. So it seems like, as far as the Johns are concerned,
right?
It sounds like case closed. Now, the bigger fish that they're trying to go after here
are the human traffickers. That's different.
That is much different, and I don't know what kind of evidence they have against them. But for the 200 names, the 25 that came out, and then the additional 175, you would think if they want to. Now, I know a lot of it is small fines, it's misdemeanors. But if they want to at least clean up on those, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so I wonder if we'll get any kind of...
Now, what may happen in this this press conference with the Palm Beach State Attorney is the arrest affidavit. Now, again, Michelle Steele of ESPN says, the Jupiter Police Department said every individual charged was, quote, positively identified using multiple investigative methods, unquote, including video evidence. How Kraft was specifically identified may come out if they announce the arrest affidavit. Now, we had thought that the arrest warrant could have been announced at 9 o'clock this morning when court opened. That may be what the Palm Beach State Attorney is doing here, is just announcing the arrest warrants have been issued, and here they are.
Yeah, that is just that is sort of weird. So we'll get more at 2 o'clock. We'll find out a little bit more information, see what they have to say. But
just to repeat also for you who are joining us a little bit late, the NFL, out of nowhere today, came out with a with a statement about this whole thing. Now, this it's not
on
very long.
On top of the one that they had on Friday, right, which was super short. That was like a nothing statement, but it was at least we're aware of it. That was all they did before.
And this one is a little longer, but says a lot of the same stuff. Quote, "Our personal conduct policy applies equally to everyone in the NFL. We will handle this allegation in the same way we would handle any issue under the policy. We are seeking a full understanding of the facts while ensuring that we do not interfere with an ongoing law enforcement investigation. We will take appropriate action as warranted based on the facts," unquote.
I mean, right now it still seems like no matter what happens, the NFL is going to punish Robert Kraft. Now, if they don't end up going through with these charges...
If they announce today, yeah, we're not going to file charges against... No.
You would imagine that the punishment would be much less severe, but there'd still be a punishment. I mean, this is still, again, for the personal conduct policy, I feel like the league would have to do something. And because it's Robert Kraft, like that's just a reality. They're going to punish him more than they would punish another owner for the exact same thing. It's the Patriots. It's how every other owner is going to be in the ear of Roger Goodell saying you got to make an example of Robert Kraft. Now, the one major difference here from Deflategate or even Spygate is this will not impact the team on the field at all. And so you could see why other owners were telling Goodell, hey, you got to come down hard on these guys. You got to take away a first round pick. You got to do all this other stuff, because they're hoping that would sort of balance the scales a little bit competitively. There's nothing you can do to Robert Kraft that is going to affect the Patriots roster next season. Nothing. And that's
theoretically, if you took away a draft pick, I don't think that's even an option.
You cannot do it. You cannot do it unless you created another rule, which I guess is the NFL.
Let's be honest.
So maybe Troy Vincent swoops in and he's like, oh, you guys didn't know about this. But based on the rules, because this is not a competitive advantage punishment at all.
You wouldn't think you could even find a way.
Even something along the lines of draft picks forfeited, because after all, it's his team.
Nope, that's dumb. That's wrong. I mean, no surprise hearing it from Max. A little clouded when it comes to the Patriots.
The radio station in Philadelphia, you'd imagine they'd be very, very even-minded, even-handed about this. He said Kraft should lose the team for this.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. So don't hold your breath on that, John Ritchie, or Bart Scott, who wants him to take away all the draft picks. Based on the NFL rules, it's right there. You can't do it. And the most he can even be fined is $500,000. So fine, put that. Jim Irsay, who, wasn't it four felonies instead of two misdemeanors,
right,
had four felonies and was suspended for six games, which again means nothing for an owner or for a team. Who cares? He's not in his suite today. We're not going to play as well. Doesn't matter. So with Robert Kraft, I think just because this has been such a big story, it's gotten so much negative attention for the league, it is an embarrassment for him specifically, for Kraft, but also for the team and the league. I think they'll still punish him regardless of what is said today at 2 o'clock.
I'll give you some updated information, this courtesy of the Globe. And you probably, we mentioned this to you earlier, that Robert Kraft was spotted leaving a bash hosted by billionaire and media mogul Barry Diller in Beverly Hills. This was on Saturday, the pre-Oscars bash at Barry Diller's place, and TMZ had the footage of him coming out and getting into the big black SUV and heading away. However, for the first time in 11 years, Robert Kraft was a no-show yesterday at Elton John's Academy Awards viewing party. He has been there for 11 straight years.
Wow. Elton John has a viewing party.
Well, and Elton John and Robert Kraft have had this relationship for a long time.
How about that?
Because Elton John has played here. Right. And you know, this piece says that he attended another party on Friday hosted by billionaire Ronald Perelman. This is according to Page
Perelman?
Six. Yeah. Not that one.
Not the guy that was Hellboy?
No, not
I saw him at Foxwoods trying to get free drinks one time.
Not
I don't think
that
he's a billionaire.
But Sunday, he just was a no-show. He didn't go to any of this stuff.
Yeah.
The
maybe he didn't want all the attention.
Well, the party that Elton John hosts is to benefit the Elton John's AIDS Foundation. Elton John AIDS Foundation. Kraft has been a longtime friend of Elton John's, has donated money. The event on Sunday raised $6.3 million. The Globe says last year Kraft attended the party with girlfriend Ricky Lander, who just months earlier had given birth to a daughter. Kraft is denied paternity.
Yeah, so they're still together, right? I think they are. One of the I've read so many articles over the weekend about this stuff and on Friday, and then a few of them have added that they began dating years ago and are still together. Now, I know she has a child that's not his. I don't know. Seems confusing, but that's all there.
It's totally confusing. Yeah. But maybe he was just... My guess is if he had shown up to anything on Sunday, if he had shown up at Elton John's Big Bash, I mean, apparently we did see video of him on Saturday.
Yeah, so he made one appearance. Not like he's just been in hiding the whole time.
But
he,
is
he
it possible that, you know, the Friday thing, I can slide...
Yeah, this... Nah,
Saturday, but boy,
out.
Sunday, I'm going to go to Elton John's...
Nope.
Oscar viewing party, and oh, by the way, I've been there for 11 consecutive years, but...
It's probably too soon, right? I mean, it's Friday, then that it all came out Friday, and then Sunday is that little party, so he's like, maybe I'll let this breathe a little bit.
So the Saturday event, which he did go to...
Right.
The Saturday event, it was hosted by Barry Diller. According to what I've read here, it also featured Katy Perry, director Ron Howard, Gail King of CBS This Morning, and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos.
It's a real who's who. And Robert Kraft.
And Robert Kraft. But he did not show up.
No. Interesting.
Is it that he's trying to
lay low now? I would say a lower profile here. Because hasn't he even been to some of these award shows? I don't know if it was the Oscars in particular. Haven't we seen him at like the Emmys or
the
Grammys?
Well, he was at the Grammys again, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was.
He's there a lot.
Golden Globes.
Globes. He's been to those before, so... Yeah, maybe just, try to see if this will, pass and then go back to these activities next year, perhaps.
But a 2 p.m. press conference, OMF will have all the details. The Palm Beach District Attorney, and it'll be curious to see if they're just announcing the arrest affidavits have been filed.
Because it will be weird if they decide all of a sudden, hey, we're not going to really push this any forward as it relates to the Johns.
That's hard for me to believe.
After 6 to 8 months and then the announcement on Friday, I would be shocked by that. Now, maybe that's some influence. You know, if you're a billionaire, it's probably a little bit easier to make things go away than if you weren't. But I don't know if that had anything to do with that. And then it's still a matter of, all right, how does the league view all of this? And can they just ignore it, too? I doubt it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Can't wait to see what comes up out of the 2 p.m. press conference. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEE.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Guy.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It has been the story, obviously, of all the newses since Friday. In fact, if you wanted to make an argument that maybe a little overblown, I'd probably be willing to listen to that argument on a weekend in which you had, you know, felony charges filed against R. Kelly. He was jailed.
Yeah.
Has not been able to post bond today, even through today.
No, but
his
locally,
lawyer says he's broke. He doesn't have $100,000, which is all the cash portion that he has to put up.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the national news now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, CBS Evening News led with Robert Kraft Friday.
But that's much newer, right? Like, I mean, I know there's been updates to R. Kelly, but we've known he's a terrible guy for a long time. We've known he's an ultimate creep and everything else, just a terrible person. We've known that for a while.
But he was arrested Friday morning.
Right. But the Robert Kraft stuff was brand new to us Friday, right at noon, just before noon on Friday. So those weekend stories, they're going to cover those a little bit more. Both are, you know, insanely famous and everything else. I think also part of it, the Patriots just won another Super Bowl. So we just saw Robert Kraft accepting the trophy. We just saw, you know, the most watched television event of the year. Right at the end, there's the owner, Robert Kraft. So I think that is, I'm not surprised, honestly, that it's gotten as much attention as it has.
I mentioned earlier today as well, it's my fault. You were right. It's on me. But I'm listening to this MSNBC thing in which they had this idiotic panel of morons.
Yeah, where they find, they're like, they just wanted the most extreme stuff, maybe?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Let's and they story. Were trying to equate the Jeffrey Epstein and Robert Kraft and R. Kelly. And, okay, one of these was charged with second-degree misdemeanor solicitation for prostitution. The other two were charged with felonies. What's significant. Yeah. One was having sex with underage minors.
Yeah. What's the potential jail time that, say, R. Kelly could serve compared to Robert Kraft? And even right there, shouldn't that be where the comparisons end? I think the more apt comparison, because he is a NFL owner, would be Jim Irsay. And even what Irsay did happens to be more severe based on the law.
It was a felony.
It was a felony, and it was actually multiple felonies, and yet zero jail time. We you know, the 6-game suspension by the league, $500,000 fine. I don't know what other kind of real life fines he also had to pay. But really, on top of it is just the public shame and embarrassment, which kind of takes on all of it. Like that, I think Irsay is much more worried about. Well, I don't know about Irsay, but most people would be more worried about that than a billionaire losing $500,000, right? And so I think if you're Robert Kraft, it's got to be a similar kind of feeling.
I will say this, and I agree with you, that the most significant punishment that I think Robert Kraft is going to suffer here is the embarrassment that this brings on him and his family and his organization and the league, the embarrassment of all of it, which means, you know, appearing at a pre-Oscar party on Friday was probably not a great idea.
No,
appearing at a pre-Oscar party on Saturday was probably not a great idea.
No.
I mean, the news came out Friday at about noon. No. And yet reports are, you know, he's at Ron Perlman's big bash on Friday night. Then he's at Barry Diller's bash on Saturday. Now, apparently, either he said, you know what, I can't do this Elton John thing on Sunday. I got it back.
I also think a big difference between Kraft and Irsay also is how they were both viewed prior to these incidents. You know, Robert Kraft is held in much higher esteem, right? He's one of the most powerful owners in the league, but also just the relationships that he has and how he is viewed. So if I told you before Irsay got in trouble that, hey, Jim Irsay got busted with like pills and like $20,000 in his car, would that honestly have shocked you? Like, it would not have shocked you.
No.
But
this one was a bit shocking.
This was much more surprising.
When it happened Friday, we just sort of looked at each other and went,
I'm like, what is the catch here? What is the story? What is going on here? And you're like, yep, Robert Kraft, prostitution sting. Like, that's all you see right away. And you're like, hold the phone. You know, not ready for that. And then you dig into the story. And there's a really terrible part of this whole thing. Like, there is a disgusting angle with this human trafficking and the sex slaves that Robert Kraft has been caught up in. All these other Johns have sort of been caught up in. And they've sort of taken the attention away from what really the main story and the whole purpose of the investigation was for.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is it shocked everybody else, too. We certainly had never heard anything even approaching this. Hints, nothing.
No. Definitely was not aware of this. And then, like, anytime there's something with the Patriots, you know, one guy then leads to a whole bunch of other questions. And, like, you know, we were talking about it this year. So, Josh Gordon, for example, when Josh Gordon was facing suspension, he leaves the team. Now, every player and every coach has to be asked about Josh Gordon. They do a great job with it, but that's now
basically
added to
saying
it.
They
now,
can't comment on it.
Can't really comment on it, but now they're spending a lot of time talking about that. Now, what's different about this is we're talking about, you know, end of February. So by the time the players come back and you're actually talking to the players, it's going to be pretty removed, right? You're talking about, you know, half a year, but they're still going to be asked about it. They're still going to have their canned answers
already
ready to go. They already have been, but it's only going to be more. Like, once there's actual real, you know, media availability, it's going to be brought up all over again. I mean, even some of these draft picks. Like, think about it. Some of these draft picks, guys that never spent a day on the team. Like, does Robert Kraft still call all the players like he normally does? Doesn't he call the players, at least some of them? I know Belichick calls them too, but I wonder how this whole draft process. They usually do the event at Gillette where either just the first round picks or all the pick. I forget how it goes, but they go to Gillette Stadium. Robert and Jonathan Kraft are there with the jersey. They do a little presentation, and then they talk for a few minutes. So I wonder if that's still going to happen. Like all these other little things.
I wonder if anybody like that. If Belichick, if Brady, those would be the two. I wonder if they reached out to Kraft at all on Friday. Or was it, ooh, we'll just stay over here.
My guess, this is just a guess.
Yep.
Brady did, Belichick didn't. That'd be my guess.
See, I would have guessed neither did.
Or maybe neither did. Right, maybe just sort of, we'll see what happens.
Did you guys see Brady's Instagram story on Friday?
No, I did not.
Well, intern Caitlin came in with a hot Keefspiracy.
Oh, boy.
Caitlin, you've worked here too long.
She told us. Actually, Caitlin,
let's hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, the Kraft story on Friday, I was all up in the players' Instagrams the rest of Friday.
Smart.
And I saw Brady Instagram storied a picture, I think, of Giselle, and it was like, I only have eyes for you.
Oh, boy.
Well, she was a very attractive woman in that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're thinking, Caitlin, that he was taking a shot at Robert Kraft here?
I mean, I don't want to believe that Brady's cold-hearted at all, but
You
never know. Maybe he was just trying to
that. Because a lot of
Giselle probably called and said, were you there?
He says that a lot, though, about
but
her.
But let's face
it,
a lot of husbands have been asked a lot of questions over the weekend, thanks in large part to Robert Kraft. All of a sudden, everybody's sort of, hey, wait a minute. Have you ever heard of those places? Have you ever been to one of those places?
Did your wives talk to you two about it?
No. My wife, trusts me, knows that I've never been to one of those places.
Dale?
What?
You go, you
what?
Know,
no.
you
mean,
traveled.
What? No.
You've gone
on
some Red Sox trips.
You've been, been all over this country.
Not in 30 years have I been in a strip club. And that was 30 years ago.
We're not talking about a strip club.
No, I haven't been in any
of them.
No,
you didn't get a table shower?
No. By the way, I had to read today what that was. I didn't even know what that meant.
What do you think a table shower is?
Well, I have to admit, I mean, the whole Dove body wash addition to the whole thing was a little much for me.
You want
to
get real clean. You got to get real clean in there. Rossi?
Yes?
Was your wife upset with you?
She was not upset already,
like knowing what the answer was?
And she was just wondering, like, have you, you know, because I've received massages before. And
Excuse
she's
me?
Like, yeah, I go to massage, like, I've got massages.
Oh, sure.
Where do you go?
Local places, chains. I've been all over the place.
You've been all over the place for massages?
Yeah, like when we go on vacation, we'll usually find a place.
Those
are really expensive. But yeah, I'll go to like your run-of-the-mill place in your local establishments.
So, what's that about?
Rossi's nose is getting a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
back
I would say.
No, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, well, because everyone has the connotation that this is what happened.
It is what happens.
No,
clearly.
It's not what happens.
Did you get a table shower?
I did not.
Facial?
Nope. Those are on the menu, but my face, I think, is perfect. Nope, never been waxed.
That's kind of an upset, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Do you think Rossi would have been waxed by now?
I try not to think about it virtually every moment.
When you go into one of these places,
yes,
what do you ask for?
A massage. Usually I call ahead and I say, how
do
much is
it? Do you wink?
Do I wink?
Yeah, do you wink? I'll take one of them massages.
No,
like,
I do not.
Okay, and then they just go, hey, come right to the back?
Yeah, they introduce
and then they
themselves.
You
get a nice warm pillow, and then they bring you the back with a glass of water.
And they tell you to get naked, right?
They give you the option.
You don't have to.
Oh, you don't?
No.
No, you do not.
Over the clothes massage seems kind of unnecessary.
It's not. You can be in your underwear.
To the degree you're comfortable.
I'm very comfortable.
And so am I.
That's what troubles me.
I can imagine.
And Eamon's taking stuff off in there right
Eamon's
now.
Eamon's ripping it off.
He's getting a massage. So you just go in there and then you just strip down and then what? You're like, I paid for the hour?
You pay for as long as you want, yeah. And then you get your massage, and then it's over. And no funny business. They don't ask questions. They don't, you know, look at your wallet. None of the random stuff. All my friends and people have asked me. Never, ever, ever.
Look at your wallet?
That's a...
Oh, they go through your wallet, you mean?
They find your pants, they say, and then they'll, like, you know...
Well, if all of a sudden there's, like, three or four people in the room,
it's not hard to find them. You just took them off for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm keeping these on, thank you very much.
Looking for credit card statements.
So, ballpark, how many massages have you gotten?
70.
That is insane. You've had 70 massages?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I'm an adult that cares about their body, all right? You got to stay loose.
You hear that? He's got to stay loose. Is he kidding me?
Stay loose.
I don't know.
I might go tonight. I'm starting to get tense from this conversation.
Oh, these places are probably doing all kinds of business now. Actually, it may not be. People are probably scared off from them.
I think it's going to be clear.
I was going to say, you could be the only guy in there.
7 p.m., we got 2 hours for you.
And so do they, have you ever been offered extra?
Never once.
Are you insulted by that?
No, I'm not. But now that I think about it, maybe I should be.
Amos is laughing like crazy.
So you never took that as like a shot after you've heard all these stories.
I've never thought of it 70 times
and they were just like, please pay. Please go to the desk and pay.
You're done. You can leave more on if you want.
Please put more clothes on. Like, hold on a second.
Like, sir, the towel's supposed to be on you.
Waving it over your head like ML Carr.
Yeah, they're like, here, you got to go. Thank you, sir. So that's really, I didn't know that about you. I just learned something about Rossi today. 70 massages.
Different places.
All over the world. All over the world?
I'm international, yeah.
Jeez. And still, just.
It's the just Jason here for the Rossi massage. International massage tour. Yeah.
No funny business.
No, but it gets, I will say, honestly, like.
Here we go.
No,
I was waiting for something like this.
The one thing you can say, honestly, as any male, the very first time you get a massage, your mind is racing all over the place.
I can imagine.
It's very difficult that very first time. After that, you're fine.
All right.
Because you're trying not to, you know, get a little over-enthusiastic about the massage.
Okay, we can maybe move on now.
I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he meant. Interesting. Well, good for you.
I don't believe I would have shared all that.
That's why I love him. He'll talk about it.
No filter.
I feel like he's probably leaving some stuff out, but that's, you know, for another time.
Well, it's Caitlin standing right over his shoulder for crying out loud.
If she wasn't here, she'd be listening down the hall.
Either way. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.